Okay, so now we could move on to discuss the role of the global red list of threatened species in international conservation efforts. And IUCN has a long history in listing species under threat of extinction. The earliest red lists date back to the 1950s, and in year 2001, the current set of rules for red listing was adopted, and this system of red list criteria and categories has been used since then. So, Pedro, tell your take why there has been such a long term and wide effort to compile lists of species at risk of extinction.
The criteria in 2001 were adopted because before that, there were criteria, but they were completely subjective. So it was basically almost a question of different experts, discussing about the status of a species and, oh, I think this is more threatened than that one, so maybe this one can be vulnerable, that one can be endangered. So it was quite fluid, and there was no consistency between different assessors. And it just in 2001, after a long process, then finally the current criteria were agreed upon and were followed, and they are very objective. So we have criteria that define that the species is, for example, vulnerable if its area of occupancy is less than this many square kilometers, or if its extent of occurrence is below these many square kilometers, or if the population size is below a certain number of individuals. So there was this really strong attempt to have objective criteria that people could follow and to make all the assessments comparable. So in fact, it's only the assessments after 2001 that are really comparable. Everything before that cannot really be seen in the same measure as everything after that. And since 2001, then there has been a strong effort then to cover as many species as possible. I think right now we have about 150,000 species or close to that assessed. Of course, some of them are already outdated, because you should, at least in principle, all the species should be assessed every 10 years at least, and of course there are no resources to do it, but still there has been an increasing effort, and the numbers are really increasing every year. Something that must be mentioned is that all this process is made by volunteers. So there are no people paid to do assessments, basically. Or if they are paid, it's really symbolic. So this is done by thousands of volunteers that are usually organized in specialist groups. And being a volunteer work, of course, it takes time. And it takes lots of effort from all these people that offer their time. So at some point it's hard to increase the numbers of species that are assessed and then reassessed after these 10 years maximum. I think the effort has been quite good, and right now we start, at least for many groups, we have a good idea of what's happening. So there are complete assessments for some vertebrate groups, and also a few plant groups. Very limited yet, but still they already have complete assessments of all the species. There are good efforts now being done for invertebrates also. For invertebrates, the assessments will hardly be complete in the next years, or even maybe in decades, yes, because we are now working on ways to automate the entire process. And in fact, I have now a project that intends to automatically extract and interpret data and to have at least preliminary assessments done with different machine learning methods, from natural language processing to neural networks and so on. So you put all these methods in a pipeline, and you feed unstructured data, and an assessment comes out in the other end. But this is still a project that I'm trying to develop, getting the funding. Part of it is already done, part is still to be done.
Sorry, I spoke on top of you. I just need to comment here. So that sounds so great, because the world is full of invertebrates, and we don't even know all the invertebrate species yet. So that's like a huge chunk of biodiversity that needs to be sort of taken into control. That was a horrible way to put it, but I guess you know what I mean. So we need more information, especially on the invertebrate biodiversity and their status and state. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about all those, maybe 80% of the species are still to be described. I mean, if a species doesn't have a name, it was not described, maybe it was never found, then obviously cannot have an assessment. We have no idea what's happening with it. And in fact, we are pretty confident that more species go extinct every day than are assessed. And so many species are going extinct without us even realizing that they exist. There are a few estimates that point to, I think it's like 6 species per day going extinct, and we don't even have a name for them. We never know. We will never know that they even existed during our lifetimes. So we're not even talking about those. It's even those that are described, which are 1 million species of insects, and then a few hundred thousands of other groups of invertebrates. Even for those, we still have a long way to go to know what something about their status. We already know, we have already good numbers for odonata, so for dragonflies and damselflies, for autoptera, so for grasshoppers. Also there is a major effort being done also for some groups of butterflies. So for some groups that are more visible, or that had more interest during the last years, we already have many species assessed. For other groups, then we are still a long way to go. Some groups like most flies or most beetles, wasps, and so on, there is nothing done. So yeah, there is a long way to go, and I'm in my view, the automation of the assessments, or at least the preliminary assessments being automated, is the way to go. Although, because we, again, volunteer work, so we cannot really demand much from all the volunteers. So the future automation of the entire assessment process is probably the way to go. It's something that we are working on right now. But in the meanwhile, things are going as fast as possible, given the little resources we have.